I'm speaking with Jared Smolik, Actuarial Director of Personal Auto Product Development at Verisk Insurance Solutions, and today we're talking about driverless cars and how they will impact the auto insurance industry. Thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how driverless cars will impact the auto insurance industry.
So you want to start with the easy question. Okay. The list of what it wouldn't affect is probably short, but pretty much anything you can think of, including some things that are far-reaching and much further down the line. In auto insurance, initially you might think about the exposure, the road exposure that we're typically used to. That's obviously going to have to change. People expect that driverless cars are going to be much safer. So just from that standpoint, we might expect that accident frequency is going to go down, which should, hopefully lower the cost of insurance or the cost of claims being paid out if vehicles are getting into fewer accidents. But it's going to take some time for the transition from, a fully manually driven fleet to a fully autonomous fleet. It's going to take a long time for that transition to occur for us to really see those gains. So in the interim, actually, we might see that as more advanced technologies are getting into vehicles, accident frequency may not go down quickly enough to offset the increased cost of those accidents. There won't be any such thing as a simple fender bender anymore, because all of the sensors and cameras are in the fenders, because that's kind of a logical place to put them. Other things that we might think about, right now, most of the cars on the roads are owned by individuals or private passengers, not commercially operated and owned. There are some thoughts that there might be some shift there. So we'd be looking at a shift from personal auto insurance to commercial auto insurance, as a lot of these autonomous fleets are owned and managed by companies that maybe have a subscriber sort of a business model. People don't need to own their own cars anymore. There are some thoughts as to whether vehicles will be used longer if they are maintained better and driven more, I would say, gently. Maybe the computer drives more gently than people will drive, so the cars will last longer. Maybe they'll be maintained better because the vehicles will know to take themselves to the garage when they need maintenance, as opposed to waiting for someone to make an appointment. But some other people have thoughts that maybe vehicles won't last on the roads as long because the utilization rate is actually going to be much higher, especially if we're looking at one of these sort of commercial subscription models where the vehicle is going to be going from passenger to passenger and doesn't really need to be parked at your office all day. Normally someone would drive to work, park all day, drive home, whereas now they can just catch a ride and the vehicle goes and finds the next ride. So if the vehicles are being operated virtually 24 hours a day, maybe the wear and tear on them will be much quicker and the lifespan of vehicles will be shorter. So that's something to think about, because especially newer vehicles and older vehicles have different repair costs and so forth. There could be a reduce in claims for even comprehensive or other than collision coverage, as when people think of accidents and autonomous vehicles, they often think about just not getting into accidents. But what if there's a storm coming and there's hail and the vehicle just kind of drives itself out of the range of the storm for the time being and then drives back whenever you might need it? There are other sorts of claims that may not occur just because there are going to be autonomous vehicles. So that's just a few of the things, how the exposure might change. There's also rating. Today we rate auto insurance based on the driver. But obviously, if the vehicles are going to be doing more of the driving, we need to start thinking about how do the vehicles differentiate from each other, as opposed to how human drivers differentiate from each other. So as far as auto insurance goes, those are kind of some of the main things that we might want to be thinking about. And then, as I said, there are going to be a lot of more far-reaching effects of autonomous vehicles that maybe don't even affect auto insurance directly, but things like property insurance and liability insurance, those are going to be affected as well.
And so what changes can be expected in the coverages offered by insurers?
Okay, so coverage, generally coverage, we think might be similar in some respect, but then there are going to be others where they're going to be different. At the beginning, it's going to be a question that's up in the air. Courts might have to get involved to set some precedent on the question of liability. If you have an autonomous vehicle that gets into an accident with a traditionally driven vehicle, do we have to assume that the autonomous vehicle is not at fault? Is it at fault, and so forth? What are the terms of the accident? If the autonomous vehicle is at fault, does that eventually go to the vehicle manufacturer or the software developer, or is it just going to be the owner of the vehicle? So these are questions that I think we're going to have to wait and see what happens in the courts, because a large part of what happens with these policies and the coverage and so forth is decided by the courts. But ultimately, we don't think there's going to be a change with how the insurance itself is administered, because whether someone is driving an autonomous vehicle or a traditional vehicle, they expect that when they get into an accident, their insurance is going to pay the claim. So even if ultimately it's found that the vehicle manufacturers are at fault, I think insurance is still going to need to cover drivers as they do today, to give them indemnification as quickly as possible. It's what people expect. And frankly, the reason that insurance exists is so that accidents won't really disrupt their lives, or there will be as little disruption as possible. Obviously, not every accident can be so easy, but insurers are still going to have to cover these claims as much as they do today, even if the liability is being shifted over time. But that said, there might also be a need for some additional coverages that we don't see today on things like personal auto insurance or even commercial auto insurance. Something like cyber liability coverage comes to mind. Today we don't really have to worry too much about hackers taking control of our vehicles and maybe making them get into accidents or stealing them remotely, things like that. But unless vehicle manufacturers have good security in place and, you know, firewalls and so forth, that might become a new sort of exposure that we have to worry about and develop new coverage in order to address it. As far as things like financial responsibility laws, I don't think anyone really expects any major changes to those. So whether the vehicle is autonomously driven or manually driven, there's still always going to be some minimum amount of insurance required. But I guess I should note that today some states have passed some regulation saying that if companies are piloting their autonomous vehicles on the road, then they have to have some large bonds available to make sure that if there is an accident, they can pay for them. I don't know if that means, if that's kind of how things are going to move in the future, that autonomous vehicles are going to be treated differently than manually driven vehicles insofar as higher limits of insurance are going to be required. But at least right now, when we're looking at pilots and testing these vehicles on public roads, some of the states are concerned with that and have made some regulation. But again, long term, it's tough to say if that's going to be the normal thing.
And how will claims handling change? I know you touched upon, you know, the courts maybe interceding in the beginning in liability evaluations.
Right. So claims, I guess one thing to think about is that the vehicles themselves are constantly recording and observing data in order to be able to make the decisions that they make on the road. So that means that if there is an accident, there should be a wealth of data available both before and after the accident occurs. So it might be a lot easier for adjusters to know about the conditions of the accident in order to make decisions about what damage has occurred. And this is before they even maybe go see the vehicles themselves or the site of the vehicle, because the data can be transmitted wirelessly. So they might know things about the acceleration and deceleration of the vehicle and some of the forces that are on them and what injuries they might expect based on those forces. Whereas today, you have adjusters that kind of will investigate the scene of the accident, look at skid marks and things like that to try to reproduce it. Now they'll have the data, and the reproduction is probably going to be a lot easier. Furthermore, having that data ahead of time will probably reduce the cost of claims in general, because repair shops may not need to stock all the parts that they do today. If instead they just wait for data to come in from an accident, they know that if a vehicle is being brought to them that had those conditions, they'll know what the type of the vehicle is, where the damage probably is, and they can order those parts kind of just in time rather than maintaining an inventory. And furthermore, if they know all that information ahead of time, it'll probably take less time to repair those vehicles, less time storing the vehicles. So overall, that aspect of claims would probably be reduced. One would also hope that fraud would be reduced if we kind of have validation and verification of the conditions of the accident. You might see certain medical conditions that would be unlikely to have occurred given those accident conditions. So maybe that would help identify fraud, and people would be less likely to try to trump up the claims if they know that the adjusters have like definitive and verifiable information about what's going on. Another aspect to think about, and this kind of gets back to liability also, one of the major data elements that may be available with autonomous vehicles is video, both in and outside the vehicle. So that also makes reproduction of the accidents and determination of liability much easier if you can just kind of see what happened without having to rely on eyewitness accounts, which we know aren't necessarily the most reliable.
And how should insurers approach the move to driverless cars?
In general, I think insurers should be excited by this. I think this is going to be one of the biggest shifts for civilization in a while, and it's going to affect all aspects of society. But as far as insurance goes, I think insurers just kind of need to keep on top of what's happening in the industry, keep on top of what the technological developments are over time. I do think that insurers do need to start planning. As we mentioned before, for example, there may be an expected shift from, for example, personal auto insurance to commercial auto insurance, and insurers should be aware of that and start planning their business models. For example, if someone is entirely a personal auto insurer and doesn't do anything else, if they did nothing, they might expect their business to shrink. So they should probably start thinking about what they need to do to address this. Now, all that said, this isn't going to be an overnight change. The transition to autonomous vehicles isn't going to happen as soon as autonomous vehicles are available, are commercially available and ready to be used. It's going to take a long time. So I don't think anyone has to be worried that overnight they need to have a new business model ready, or overnight they're going to lose all of their personal auto customers. But over time, they do need to kind of manage their business and manage the market and what's going on and figure out how to adapt. But I think there is plenty of time for that. It's just that we're kind of in a place where this is no longer something that people just need to or have the luxury of just talking about and speculating. I think people really do need to start thinking about and planning for what they're going to do with autonomous vehicles.
Thank you. Jared Smolik, Actuarial Director of Personal Auto Product Development at Verisk Insurance Solutions.